Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is TechNori Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Sitting next to me is Raja Nemani, who's the co-founder of Bucket Feet. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So right off the bat, this is a really cool company, and it turns out one of our sponsors actually knows your co-founder and some other kind of weird connections that I've had with your company that I didn't realize until you actually came and sat down here. But for those who are not familiar with Bucket Feet is, why don't you kind of fill us in on what it is?
Sure. So simply, it's artist design footwear brand. So we collaborate with a community of over 40,000 artists from 120 countries around the world to design shoes. And because these shoes are super unique and stand out, we think they're the most unique shoes in the world. They spark conversation, and they spark conversation about the person that designed it, where that person's from, what that art is, what the story of that art is. And we think by sparking conversation around a product like shoes, we can bring people together and connect people and make a better world.
So a couple questions. How would I know if I've seen Bucket Feet shoes walking around?
If you've seen a bright red sole that says Bucket Feet, that's right on the bottom. We got a patch on the back of the shoe with our logo. But if you see a shoe, especially in Chicago, with a crazy, colorful design,
yep,
there's a good chance it's ours.
Okay, I was going to say, because I actually saw on the train the other day, I was watching a couple guys walk by with shoes, and I was like, holy cow, those are really awesome. And I can't remember what the guy said. I don't know. He may have just been lying to me. But either way, that's cool to know. So one of the other questions that I want to get out right off the bat is, shoes are something that have to be, at least for men, they always have to be comfortable. Women are willing to do whatever the hell it takes to look beautiful. And men are just like, I'm lazy and I'm flat-footed and I'm just going to sit here and they have to be comfortable. What kind of shoes are these, like name brand shoes? Or are they?
So it's our brand. So we manufacture
shoes. So like you care that the shoes are comfortable and cool. It's not like a t-shirt design company where they're like, oh, here's a shitty shirt. And
exactly. So we designed and manufacture these top to bottom. This is our brand. We're not buying other people's brand.
That's pretty key. That's a key differentiator.
Insoles that have massage bubbles is what we call them. So super comfortable, free returns. But the industry average for return rate for sneakers is around 50%. Ours is around 7%. So I think, you know, rather than listen to me, I think the stats sort of speak for themselves that they're super comfy and people.
We'll
like
listen to you though because you're here.
Yeah, please.
So we're going to listen to you.
No worries.
That's very cool. It's good to know that. That's a piece that was considered in this, because I feel like a lot of times, I guess this is kind of one of those things where, you know, I think about the t-shirt craze that took place where it was like, we're going to create our own things. And then it was like, we're going to design cool shirts that people are going to buy many of. And then it's like customize and design.
Yeah.
And the thing that they all missed was the shirts were crappy.
Yeah.
Like you'd put them on, they shrink, the thing wasn't good. Like it just, they didn't think that part through because they had this idea. And for you guys, it's really cool to me that you created a shoe that is not only artistically very unique and also personal and makes it in a way that I would love to showcase these and probably not throw them away, but rather keep them one way or the other. You also make it so that I can buy them and happily wear them and show the world.
Yeah, I think it's a little different too. T-shirt. Most people are changing their shirt every day. I hope they are, right?
Otherwise, not really.
Otherwise,
I mean, not in the startup world. That's all we got, man.
Yeah, exactly. With shoes, you know, most people will wear the same pair every day. At least if you're a guy, you know, a woman might change it more often depending on the circumstance. But a guy, if he's working at a startup, working at a company, might wear that same brown pair of shoes or that same pair of sneakers every day. You're on your feet all the time. Even if a shirt's the worst shirt ever.
Yeah.
It's not really going to irritate you that much, but if the shoe is,
you'd be surprised actually.
Yeah.
I could tell you some stories, man, about I'm not going to waste your time with too much of it, but like being on stage one time, I had the wrong shirt on and it was like tickling my armpit.
Yeah.
I literally, like, once we changed people out, I went backstage and changed my t-shirt. It's like driving me nuts. So it does actually, you know, make a difference. But to your point, it is definitely different. I mean, wearing a t-shirt is usually a $15 to $20 trinket. Shoes are a very different thing. So,
for sure.
Very cool. So as you started this, your company was on TechNori stage, I believe in 2015 or something like that.
Yeah, I gave the keynote.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. So since that time, I mean, keep us kind of update us a little bit on like how far you've grown. I know you got some locations, brick and mortar, and you guys are, you know, kind of, it seems like you're expanding pretty quickly, actually.
Yeah. So a lot's changed, and we're working on something that's probably the most exciting thing we've done in our history right now.
And you're going to drop it here on TechNori?
And we'll drop it. Yeah, we'll drop it. I don't think we've shared with a lot of people. So since 2015. We've done pop-up shops all over the world. We've opened three locations. Not three since 2015, but we have three permanent locations now, two in Chicago. And by the way, we're the first sneaker brand ever founded in Chicago, which is sort of
it's cool, kind of crazy.
One day on our Wikipedia page, yeah, we can sort of have that claim to fame.
It's hard to believe that, actually, too. But it's that's really cool. I did not know that.
We opened a location in D.C., but the most of our sales are online. And so the biggest thing that we're working on is, I don't know how much you follow it, but there's been a massive trend of old school brands dying.
Yeah,
retailers are dying every day. You know, Bebe just announced they're closing all their stores. Yep. Sears is about to go bankrupt. All these big brands that we all grew up with are just
Sears has been about to go bankrupt though for about 15 years.
Forever, J. Crew, yeah. Gap, all these guys, and a lot of that comes down to inventory, where they're making stuff. It doesn't go on the shelves for 12 months because of production cycles, retail calendars. And then they find out consumers don't want that anymore, right? There's a huge trend toward personalization. What I wanted yesterday is different than what I want today, is different than what I want tomorrow. And footwear is notoriously slow in terms of production, retail calendar. So what we've developed with partners is an ability to on-demand either produce or print our footwear product. So taking a white blank shoe and not having to guess if you want a red shoe or a blue shoe or a shoe with camels on it or dolphins on it. I wait till you buy the shoe with camels on it. I print it and I ship it to you.
Yep.
Or I just make the full shoe and I drop ship it direct from our factory. And the implications of this are huge. We get to work with more artists.
Massive.
We get to offer way more customer choice. But also, we have no inventory risk. And if you see the retailers that are really winning, like Zara, you know, richest man in the world, H&M, they've really figured out supply chain. And
they control the SKUs. I mean, ultimately, what ends up crushing a lot. Like we just had, so for example, we had Tybar on the other day. And they're, I don't know how familiar you are now with what they're doing. So like they are now getting into where they're doing custom sport coats and things because they recognize, and I thought risky, but potentially brilliant, is the fact that as you see, you know, men your and I's age are not as into dressing up. We're dressing down, but we still like a little flair.
Sure.
And so like Tybar, unless you give me a cool jacket to wear, what the hell am I wearing a tie for?
Yeah.
And so they sort of reinvented their brand around like, well, we can give you high-end shirts and high-end coats because I know you need them if you're going to wear where we make our real margins at.
Yeah.
So, you know, they control – well, anyway, so the customization part of it is they manage their SKUs so that no longer do they have 8 bajillion SKUs in 4 different sizes.
Yeah.
And they've kind of mastered the neck sizes and stuff to control SKU, which is where you guys are kicking ass.
I think for anyone that's going to start a consumer brand, you really have to think about supply chain today. I mean, that is where you lead from. It's not even what you do on the marketing side. It's having a great product and a way to not take risk on that product. So if you don't have a supply chain strategy, I think you have no strategy at all. And the ones that figure that out are going to win. And the ones that don't, I think it's going to be a tough road ahead.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, if you look at the digitization of everything in the manufacturing stuff, if you can't adapt the business model you have to that, you're crushed. It's done. You might as well just start selling your assets now, which you're seeing, like you mentioned, you're seeing companies start to do because they see it. They're not gonna be able to learn and compete with it.
And we went through that pain too, right? Like you have your ups and downs and you figure things out, especially as a startup. But then when you find that opportunity, you just go full bore and go for it.
That's awesome. So I guess I think of shoes, I think of sports shoes, and I think of like boots and things. Are you guys in all those? Like, you make all this stuff, or is it sort of you know? I mean, obviously you know who your niche person is, but like, do you know the like who? I guess who is the main consumer for you?
Sure. So we're focused more on the casual side. So sneakers. So our competitors. So if you think of like a Vans or a Toms or a Converse or a Keds, that's who we're sort of going up against. If you think about the Adidas Originals line, which is super popular right now.
Sure.
So colorful, fun, unique. That's the type of product. We sell probably 75% to women, 25% to men. A lot of that's driven by the printed canvas.
That's actually kind of surprising to me. I feel like I think it would be actually closer. But.
Yeah, printed canvas is like a big trend for women right now, and we have a lot of printed canvas. That's sort of the customer.
And then as far as the artistry part of it, I mean, that's a huge component of this, which differentiates you is – you can't duplicate something that's, you know, has like a one-off creation. How do you guys find the artists and what does it look like? Walk me through the process of how does the art find its way on your shoe?
Yeah. So the artists are sort of our secret weapon. Our marketing strategy is our artists. So we have 40,000 artists that have a social media following of 200 million people. That's bigger than any other brand on the planet. So all we're trying to do is to empower these artists to promote their product. Yeah. So the more artists we can work with in real time,
it's a brilliant idea.
The more awareness we can generate at zero cost. And customer acquisition is the name of the game in e-commerce, and we're trying to figure that out. So originally, my co-founder, Aaron, he was an artist. He was living in South America. He did a photo project, and he met these four artists from Brazil. And it sort of grew from there, right? So the same way you raise money, you sort of network with lots of people. And he built that network slowly. Now we've built a pretty big social media following of, you know, 700,000 people. So most artists find out about us through our social media and then sign up on our website, submit art, and then that art gets applied to our footwear templates, which we then either produce into a shoe or don't.
So is there any customization side of this where people could be like, I mean, obviously you could probably pick certain pieces that they particularly like, but can you have an artist, I guess if you know them, you could have them do it, but can you have an artist actually make me something special?
Yeah, so we do it in two ways. So as we further develop our supply chain and make it easier to put art on shoes, literally just that process, it gives more people an opportunity to make their own design, right? Sure. And it gives you a higher probability potentially of having a shoe made.
I feel like that's still like, I mean, I would, obviously you guys are exploring all of these things. I feel like that's one of those things that like in my head I would do and maybe like kind of, I don't know. I don't want to say like one off, but like, you know what I mean? Like that's like Nike has their ID.
Sure.
But they have an end customer for that. There's going to be sports teams who are going to go nuts all day with
it. Yeah, this isn't custom. It's more personalization, right? We still want to discover great art and put it on shoes.
Because I feel like that's your thing. I mean, the thing that's so cool is that I get a piece of art.
Exactly.
That I get to wear,
from,
not like
somebody you actually find talented.
Because, like, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with like Songfinch. I don't know if you've heard of Songfinch.
No,
we're going to have them on our stage in the next couple weeks or whatever. But they wrote a song for me. They were on my show on a Saturday, and so if I wanted, and they're real songs. So, like, at first, when they came in, you're like, we're going to write a song for a jingle. I'm like, okay. Like, I figured it's like ding, 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 Scott, ding, 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 Technor.
Sure.
It wouldn't be good. They actually have, like, artists all over the place, and they had a rapper from Detroit.
Yeah,
and he his name is Name Tag Alexander, which is awesome.
Yeah,
and he wrote the song. It's like legit rap hype song.
Yeah,
so you can fill out like tell your story. My daughter's graduating. Write her a love song.
Yeah.
You know, wedding songs, whatever. And it's super custom.
Yeah,
and it's an artist who did it. It's not some jerk sitting in a room like penciling out.
So I think that's like the differentiation point of personalization versus
there's no price limit on that,
right?
And there's no price limit
on
that.
And that's a trend. Like, everyone wants to sort of be their own person today.
Yep.
And I think that's a huge trend. And I think that's going to continue to sort of carry the day. Now, to answer your question, the second piece is we also offer just blank shoes so that we've had, like, big-name artists, not big-name artists, just do one-off pairs.
Yeah.
And people will pay, you know, $200-$400.
That was my next question. Was so.
But that's more just for fun.
Yeah, of course. But I also think though, I mean, in time we are getting into a place where like a lot of things are more abstract and more artistic and like the song thing. Like, there's a legit chance that that's not even a chance. It's going to happen that one of the artists is going to write a song that's inspired by my struggle with this or my survival of that or whatever, and it's end up being a hit.
Yeah.
Because these are all going out on iTunes.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to end up one is going to be a hit. With this, there's no doubt in my mind that there's going to be an artist who created something who becomes the Chance the Rapper of something becomes famous, and now things that they've created on your site are legit. Not that they're not legit art now, but are legit art that's being auctioned off.
Yeah.
I love your model because at a certain point when you figure that out, you're going to be able to have like these are incredibly like premier artists who are spending a lot of time, and it costs, you know, really whatever they want to charge.
And we like the idea that we're many times discovering these people before
that's the coolest part,
which is just like a super empowering feeling.
Oh my God, yeah. And then you're bringing that to people and they get to like that. I actually like art. Anyone who knows me would think that's insanely bizarre and think that I wouldn't, because if you know me, you're like in about 26 minutes I'm going to be throwing down some PBR out of a can and they're like, that's not an art guy. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah.
Like art. The problem with it is, one, I don't have any money. That's the first problem. The second problem is, if I had money, the idea of hanging it on a wall where I'm never there, it's like waste.
Yeah.
The idea I can put it on my feet and show people, like, this is my style.
And it's a conversation starter.
It's amazing.
And then immediately you have something to say about it.
That's the coolest thing. All right, so we have to wrap up here, but where do people go to learn more about this? Where do they get, you know, walk the listener through how they get a pair of kick-ass shoes on their feet.
Bucketfeet.com.
That's it?
That's easy.
They don't have to fill out anything? There's nothing. Just bucketfeet.com.
Yeah.
Get some cool shoes.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Cool.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Yeah. This is great.
Cheers.
Absolutely. You can watch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes and stay connected by following us at Technori on Facebook and Twitter. And you can follow me at Katoon. Check out Bucket Feet. Boom, that's a wrap.